hari sahana bhavatu sahana bhunaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 41 The difference between a householder and a renunciate is due to their different means of livelihood. In other words, the concept of application of service is the same. Means that if you go up on my next to the computer, there's a kind of a plastic Tiffany thing. You can get that. Due to the means of their livelihood. So, in other words, the concept of application of Krishna consciousness in the life is the same. It doesn't change. It's not that there's one method for the grihastas, another method for the renunciates. It's the same, because the whole process is naishkarmya. The only difference is because of the livelihood, then one is dealing with more facility, one is dealing with less. That's all. So that's why then renunciation, the element of renunciation is considered simpler, more straightforward, because there's less to deal with. That's all. But it's not that the method of dealing is any different. So as far as the understanding of the philosophy and how to apply it, in that the senses are being engaged in Krishna service, and one is, the results of it are, for Krishna, that doesn't change. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's just that for the renunciate, there's less engagement of the senses, mm-hmm. and the grihastha, there's more engagement. But the method of engaging the senses is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. Right? Mm-hmm. For the devotees, for the karmis and jnanis, then it's quite different, because one is a karmi and one is a jnani. So that means they'll have, one will be working on that platform. Renunciation is the occupation and is the other one is not. But that means though they're working on the Vedic principle, and so we'll be able to define them as actually the same, right? They're both technically karmis, right? But they won't see that. For them, there'll be a very major difference, right? Because mentality, everything. Because one may be on, one definitely has, should be on Vijnanamoy, right? The platform of liberation. The other one, you know, would be situated at Dharma or Artha, you know, Dharma, Artha, Kama. Well, the others are situated at Moksha, and has nothing to do with Dharma, Artha, and Kama, right? But the devotee, all Vaishnavas are situated on Anandamoy, right? So devotional service. So where their consciousness is situated is the same. So the methodology is the same. It's just the volume of dealing. That's
it. Yes. So we should distinguish between simple and easy.
Simple and easy.
Yeah, because you're saying it's simpler for the renunciate, but
it's not necessarily any easier.
Yeah, that's
because the point is. You know, the person that can run a big business, he has as much trouble with his big business as the small person has with his, as far as their experience. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the adult is sitting there waiting in the line for, you know, 6 hours, you know, and the kid is waiting and, you know, has to wait on the internet for 30 seconds for the page to load. It's the same,
yeah,
you know, as far as their experience goes. So that's the ideas that, you know, but we'll say, yes, it is more work, the big business than the small, but the principle of business is exactly the same. You know, so the point is if it's only business, then you make a distinction. But if it's devotional service, there's no distinction. It just means the one who has the small business, like that, technically should have more time. Mm. But it just depends upon his expertise, because there you're dealing here, but here it's that you're engaging the senses, they're engaging less, so they'll have more time. The grihastha, you know, you have the occupation. So the one's occupation may be raising money, the other's occupation is speaking about Krishna or preaching or something like that. So, but otherwise the personal sadhana will be the same. Does that make sense? So that's why it doesn't matter how you situate yourself. It's whatever is good for you at the time. It's not a matter of social prestige or anything else. It's a matter of, for your situation at present, what will work best. You know, but as we mentioned, is that for the renunciate, you're less entangled with the material energy, so it's less complicated. Like that. So then on the Facebook page you put less complicated. Can you put your own heading, whatever you want? You can. So they have standard ones you can put your own. Okay. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Advanced,
less complicated.
The more advanced Facebook glasses.
Yes, the more advanced.
Thank you.
She'll take that as a compliment. Okay. If the home is favorable for a devotee's devotional service, then he should not leave. In other words, the routine is going on. Everything's there. Everyone knows what they're doing, so their service is at a particular standard. Why leave? It's favorable. It's because the point is engage everything in Krishna's service. That's the standard. Not be renounced or be attached. That's not the activity. Right? If it is his duty to remain a grihastha with detachment. Right? So even though he is a grihastha, the principle of naishkarmya still remains the same. The difference is there'll be more elements of his own attachment that you're starting from that you're going to give the result to Krishna. Right? While the renunciate will have less points. Does that make sense? There's more variety. That's all. So, yeah. That's all. But so detachment is the main thing, because otherwise someone will go, okay, detachment of course is for the renunciate, but for the grihastha, detachment's not actually an important principle. No, it's just as important. Because the point is it's only service if it's connected to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's not devotional service. Not because I'm a devotee, so whatever I do, it's devotional service. No, I'm a devotee, and devotional service is because I do whatever's in connection with my life to Krishna. So the more of that, the more of a devotee I am. The less of that, then, you know, the devotee, it's mixed. Right? So that's what Mr. Bhakti means, is that one's a devotee and one's not a devotee. Right? It's a chinta-veda-veda-tattva. Right? Like that. So it's not so extreme. It's not that if it's not 100%, oh, they're not devotees. No, no. The point is that for the soul, being a devotee is normal. So in other words, let's say someone is sick. Right? And now if they're starting to improve, what do you discuss? When you ask about their health, what will you say? Yeah, he'll say better. Yeah, he's a little bit better, other 5% better. Yeah, a little bit, or this has gone away. You don't say, no, he's still 90% sick. You know? Wow, he's almost back to normal. No, still 10% sick. You understand? We don't look at it that way. So that's the point, is that the jiva taking up devotional service, you look at that part of the devotional service. So there's only a need to deal with the other sides of the devotional service when the jiva is being lazy, when he thinks it's good enough. You know, we're up to 40%, that's good enough. No. Prema is 100%, so, you know, you still got 60% to go, you know. like that. Does that make sense? Therefore, you'll say things like, no, but no big deal, we're working at it. No, but then you may take birth again. Mm-hmm. You know, so these things are all in there just to, you know, create some, I said, yeah, some, you know, inspiration, yes. Like that.
Is it on Shastra, or it's on Tapa Shastra, like that when it's...
Shastra does that, the Acharyas do, everybody does.
No, but when they say that when you are in the Nishta platform, you are 75% Krishna consciousness.
I don't know. I heard 60. I didn't hear 75. But I don't know. There's some quote. I've been told that Rupa Goswami, in the original Nectar Devotion, you have to look in there because it's now been translated. And there, supposedly when he's talking about that I understand with Nishta, then he says it's at 60%, but he's not talking about it in connection with Nishta, he's talking about it in connection with Raghunuga Bhakti, the quote. That's what I've heard. Someone told me that back in the maybe 70s or 80s. You know, one of these Sanskrit pundits, you know, the ones that are no longer really with us, those kind of. Yeah. So. I think they're out there on Vast. Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? So the point is it's over the line, you know, so therefore it's counted as that. So that's called advanced devotional service. Right? Because it's beyond that particular amount. So you're taking what's the major aspect, right? So that's how you situate it. But what you're doing also at the same time is looking at it, like we said, from the positive, that is devotional service. Sure, Shraddha may only be a few percent, but, it, you know, one has started the process. Now one's going to be more consistent in trying to follow it, right? One's practice may not be, but the you could say your basic dedication to the devotional process is fixed. Does that make sense? Yes.
On that same minute, sometimes you hear Prabhupada would say, you know, his disciples were aiming for the heavenly planet.
Not so much aiming, I think he's more saying that they'll end up there. He was saying grihasthas. Because they're, you know, they're just going along and they're just comfortable with life as it is. So they're not thinking that, you know, one has to apply this process of naishkarmya to all aspects of the life. Because it's either they renounce and don't deal with the desires, so they don't go away, or then they just cultivate the desires and don't connect it to the Lord. So this process of naishkarmya, where the senses are engaged, but the result ultimately is for Krishna, that somehow or another is not connected, because then that takes study, that takes knowledge, right? That takes practice. So for that, then he was making that point. But the point is, if someone is serious, then like here, there's no difference between. So if does that make sense? So if the majority of the renunciates are doing much better, the point is the grihastha can enjoy that same level of commitment. It's just a matter of it's individual. He has to make that commitment. That's all. Does that make sense? But that what that means is that you get distracted by something. Because Krishna says in the Gita, those who are distracted at an earlier stage in devotional service, they go to the heavenly planets. So that's what I was talking about. Not that they're trying to get to the heavenly planets. No, that's just where they'll end up. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to detach yourself, and that's your focus, though you're not necessarily successful at it, then one doesn't go to the heavenly planets. Does that make sense? But if one is engaging the senses, but is comfortable with that engagement, as opposed to the element of connecting it to Krishna, then why wouldn't one go to the heavenly planets? That's if you want to enjoy on the sensual platform, the social platform, then the heavenly planets is the place for it. This really isn't the place, you know. It's just like that. It means there you're rich. You're rich. You're rich the whole time you're there. It's not like, you know, you went to bed tonight and you're looking and chuckling because now you're the richest man in the world, and you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning and then you look and you're number five again. You know, and the other guy that was number three, now he's number one. You know, because it's the same five guys. But whatever. It just keeps going around. You know, so it's like, it's unsteady, you know. It's like you don't know what'll happen, you know, like that. You know, it's like you know, generally speaking, except for rare occasions, it's not like you're going to walk out the front door of your house and find that all the demon army is there and they've come to take over the heavenly planet. So, you know, but, you know, around here, that could be what happens, you know. You know, or you walk out of your house and you notice that the IRS is standing outside there. You know, something, you know, it's just, you don't know what's going to happen. So, this is not the place for it. So, Krishna sends them to the heavenly planets. And then having been there for a while, and then you kind of figure out that that's not really where it's at, then one comes back. And then one can either do that again, or one can get more serious.
So just secondary to that, and how does one connect the platform with the correct application of Yukta Vairagya, so that you're always constantly evaluating where your detachment is and using it correctly?
It's just a matter of wanting to do it. Because if you want to do it, then you'll look, okay, what is the connection of my endeavor to Krishna? You know, where is the result and how does that result go to Krishna? You just analyze it. It means with time it'll come more easy because you've worked it out, then it's just a matter of remembering it. But in the beginning you may have to analyze, you know, how, you know, that, you know, those two porcelain cherubs sitting on the mantle, you know, is connected to Krishna. You know, you may have to do some serious thought, you know, like that. But once you've worked it out, then it's just a matter you have to remember that. Yes.
What happens with the renouncer who doesn't deal with desires, so the desires don't go away, as you said?
Then he'll have to deal with them at some point. So it means, the point is they're either connected to Krishna, means you either through, you know, understanding in that, then they go away because there's no need, or through engaging them, they go away. But that means the point is it's not, it's just that's the way it works. You know. And so for us, it doesn't matter the position. But it's unfortunate to go back from the one. Because in other words, why take up a complicated situation when you were situated in the more simple one? You know what I'm saying? That's the point. When one could have dealt with the more complicated when you were younger. You know, that's always better. Because then the enthusiasm is there and this and that. You know, after a while it becomes a little bit annoying. Like, I remember I said, we were in this, I think they were Mudras or Shrees? I think they were Mudras. So we went into their house, they invited us, Brahmin family, and sit down there. So there's this thing called Parisesana, where when you eat, then, you know, there's water poured around the plate, you eat grains five times, mantras are chanted, and all these different things are done. It's just standard that, you know, the Brahmins, they do that before they eat. Right? So then, you know, we went to the house, and then there's the old, I must have been whoever invited us, his father. You know, so he looked like he was, you know, 60s or 70s or something like that. You know, still active and all that, but, you know, been around. So then they serve the prasad like that, and then, because we're in the house like that, you know, we're expecting, they expect it, so we start doing the partitation, right? But then the old man, he gets really kind of, you can see visibly he was annoyed because he thought he could just start eating because we're Westerners, we don't know that, so that saves like 30 seconds. You can just start eating. So then, you know, it's kind of, oh my God. You know, and then, you know, so there comes a point where one's not so enamored by the rituals. You know, one sticks to the more essential points like that. And so you could see he had reached that state. You know? So that's also one of the definitions for vanaprastha, is when rituals don't mean much to you, meaning you did them, not that, you know, they don't mean anything to me now. You know, says, no, it meant they meant something. You practiced them, and now the ritual itself is not what's important, but, you know, what's the purpose of it, like that. Then that's also one of the symptoms for vanaprastha, like that. So that's like that. Yes.
In the beginning, when you were saying about connecting one's activities to Krishna, mm-hmm. So when you were speaking of connecting it to on a consciousness level, In the beginning, does it usually happen by connecting the activity to the mode of goodness?
Like, say how are you going to connect to the mode of goodness?
Like, so you say you keep a very clean house, and you recognize that, okay, cleanliness is the quality of the mode of goodness, and the mode of goodness is closest to transcendence, and then like that.
Yeah, but how does close to transcendence please Krishna? So I'm saying that's close, but then that's only piety. So you've described piety now. But that's piety is not good enough. Devotees will make the mistake that if it's pious, it's actually good enough. Therefore, as Bikash said, then heavenly planets. Because they're just making, I'm a devotee, so if I do nice stuff, it's also devotional. But it's no. Nice stuff is to be engaged in Krishna's service. Piety is for the purpose that piety is of a higher grade offering than impiety. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. You know, sophistication is better than unsophistication. But the point is offering it to Krishna, that's the main element. So does that make sense?
So then the idea would be that I keep a clean house because I need to worship my deities here and the house should be clean.
Okay, yeah.
Then it becomes devotional.
I'm just saying that is a way to connect it.
Okay.
So that's more direct. You're connecting it to Pancharatra there. You know what I'm saying? But the point is does Krishna like things to be clean? Where does the concept come from? What is one of the qualities of Krishna? Right? Supreme pure, right? 64 qualities is clean. You know, so that the external environment, the internal mood, all that is clean or pure. So if you want to associate with him, you have to have that kind of level. Right? Does that make sense? Not that we're going from the jnana level here. Right? So then, therefore, is that the mode of goodness, then you're not, passionate ignorance means you're either going to not do the proper thing or you're going to do it for an improper purpose. Right? Mode of passion means you may be doing the right activity, but the result are for yourself. Mode of goodness, you're doing the right activity, the result's not for yourself. It's because it's duty. You know what I'm saying? So from that platform, then Naishkarmya is very easy, then it's very easy to connect it to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So the situation in goodness is useful only because it's easier to get to pure goodness from. It's hard to get the pure goodness from passion or ignorance. Does that make sense? So that's the situation. Now how you observe, how you make that connection, right? Then that may differ, you know, because Krishna has those qualities. We want to associate with Krishna. We have to be friends. We have to have the same kind of quality. So therefore, so that would be going from the Bhagwa. Pancharatra is, if the house is not clean, how do we worship the deity? You know what I'm saying? Vedic, it's our duty. We're supposed to do these things. And Krishna, you know, wants devotees to act. Devotees are basically Brahmins, so therefore, to please Krishna, he's given these rules of cleanliness, we'll follow them. Some way it's connected, but you have to be conscious. It's not that you connected it today and now it is eternally. It doesn't work like that. You know, you give the flowers to the girl, it's not now eternally she's happy. No, for 3 days she can be happy. And then you got to do something else. So you can't claim. There is no such thing as I do one time work and eternally reap the benefits. But the living entity, in illusion, thinks that's how it's going to work. So one time I connected it, now it's always connected. No, you have to be conscious of it. The gopis are always conscious of Krishna. Not that they were conscious once, and now then because they did it so nicely, now everybody remembers that. Does that make sense? But when the home becomes unfavorable for a service, he then becomes eligible to leave home, right? So it's an eligibility to leave home, not just, you know, you don't like it in the home. You know, your wife drives you nuts, your kids drive you nuts, therefore you're eligible to leave home. No, that going nuts is not an eligibility like that. It means it's unfavorable. One could say, well, this is unfavorable. Is it unfavorable? It means you're realizing that you're not going to be happy and enjoy in this environment. So how is it unfavorable? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's unfavorable when you can't do your service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't connect things to Krishna. You don't have the facility for it. That's where it comes out of it. Not that it drives you nuts.
then he should actually stay.
Yeah, just like the businessman. He's doing his business, right? The phone's going off the hook. He's talking on two phones at once. I've actually seen it.
Yeah.
Like that. And so that is because this drives me nuts. I'm dropping this business. You know, it's so happening. It's so dynamic. So much money's coming in. You know, I can't keep up with it. It's driving me crazy. So I'm just going to drop this, right? Everybody would go, yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah. Right? So the point is he's engaging the senses, but the point is engaging the senses means more you're exposed to going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the more you work at the business, the more the facility is there for becoming crazy. Right? Because it's more work. So the more the senses are engaged, the more opportunities there are to go nuts. So that's not the reason. It's unfavorable for his service. It means it was favorable, and now it's not favorable. Right? That's the point. So if you can do your service, it doesn't change. That means something means why are you going crazy? So that means the balance is not right. Right? So that's not the problem of being a grihastha. That's the problem is you're not applying yourself thoughtfully enough to being a grihastha. Right? Because otherwise the balance in this household or the renunciate is the same. You can find the balance in both.
Mm.
Right, Yudhishthira was peaceful.
Mm.
Like that, Ambarish Maharaj is peaceful. Mm. Prithu Maharaj is peaceful. They're all different. You're not going to get more management and more intense interaction, you know, than there are.
Mm.
Right? Yes.
What would be the example of unfavorable situation?
Unfavorable situation. When your wife sells your Bhagavatam for stealing. That's unfavorable. You go to read your Bhagavatam and then you open it up and you find a bunch of biscuits there. Like that, you know. Like that. You can. I've heard you can read tea leaves, but I've never heard you can eat biscuits. Okay. Yes.
Huh? It sounds like it came really fast. It sounds like it was a real story.
It's Prabhupada. His wife said
she did. I didn't know.
She was one of the first ones to distribute his books. His wife was the first one to distribute his books. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but somehow or another, Prabhupada didn't come back and say double it. You know, there was something wrong.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yes.
Before we was reading, but you know, Thakur said, as a support for his devotional service, a householder should find a suitable wife.
Yes.
So, this is a key point here. So, what will be?
But she was suitable. You know, it brought him to the point of renunciation. So that's suitable. Or if they can cooperate together and all that, that's suitable.
What would be the best way to know?
Suitable. Didn't we already go? Didn't we spend time on that? Suitable?
I think you spent some time on it.
Where was that? That's way back, isn't it?
Yes.
One of the late questions.
My Maharaj, didn't Gaura Mohan Dev, didn't he arranged actually that marriage because he knew that...
No, he had just said that was based on attractiveness.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That was based on the physical attractiveness. So one looked nicer, one didn't. But the point is if you look at the pictures of Prabhupada's wives, that meant, you know, how you say, you know, his wife looked very nice, so that means the other one must have been like a supermodel or something. You know, that's, we're not talking here is that, you know, one was nice, one was okay and one was ugly, you know.
I thought I recalled, like Prabhupada said, you know, he was grateful for his father's, like, you know, choice, so that it made it easier later.
Yeah, well, that's what his father said. Is that if you're too attached, then it's harder to leave.
Okay.
But leaving in Bhaktivinoda Thakura's meaning is leaving the grihastha environment, so the vanaprastha. So the point was, is he was always trying to engage them within these vanaprastha activities of preaching and putting the focus there. But they just wanted more money and wanted the continuous grihasthas. Therefore, it wasn't favorable because he had, you know, by age, he had moved to the stage of vanaprastha. But they weren't willing to move. They wanted to, the sons weren't going to take up the business as proper grihasthas. Mm. And, you know, the wife wanted the facility as a grihastha, which is fine. It just means that he'll pursue vanaprastha on his own. That's also allowed. But it means the sons will take up the business. So they weren't taking it up, so no matter how much he tried to involve them and get them there and teach them, they wouldn't. So the time had passed. And so then he moved on. You know what I'm saying? So in any case, it just makes it more. So the point is if she had been, you know, we were talking about in that beginning, more attractive, this, that, then it might have been harder. Is that the sense? Yeah. So it's complicated. Favorable means this equal nature. Right? It means if the nature is not equal, then it's not favorable. Yeah, does that make sense? It means the point is suitable will mean as close to that means if one follows duties very nicely, then it doesn't matter how nicely they're matched, you can make it work. Because, you know, husband has duties and ways of dealing. Wife has duties, ways of dealing. So if they follow it, it'll work. But it won't be smooth. It won't be easy. Because the idea is that it should be the least distraction because then maximum time can be spent for God consciousness. Does that make sense? But the point is I've only seen that work if you have persons from traditional families, because they know the duties of follow them. But if one's not from traditional families, I mean, you know, not, you know, really old traditional families, you know, it's just, you know, so those cultures that have that, then you can say it'll work better. But in the modern environment, I wouldn't recommend it at all. Because their sense of duty is not very great, or not non-existent. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada recommends checking the charts. Because that's a good way to immediately tell how much compatibility is there. Because in other words, the more the compatibility, the less natural obstacles there are. Right? But it doesn't mean that you won't create your own obstacles by being stupid. You know, that's you can have another, you know, does that make sense? You know, I can give a punk kid, you know, the nicest car, put him in, you know, the top of the line Volvo, right? You know, like that. You know, technically one of the safest cars in the country. It doesn't mean he can't crash it or run over an old lady or, you know, squash somebody's teddy bears. You know what I'm saying? Because it's still endeavor. Like that. But the point is you start off with that, there's a better chance. So that's why the charts are important. Prabhupada recommended it. And then devotees are such paramahamsas that, oh, we're devotees, we don't care, you know, like that. We're beyond. So that means the only way you'll make it work is if you're beyond. So if you're really Krishna conscious, then you technically could get it to work. So that's the main element, is that you're seeing that it means equal nature. It means whatever is one's own, you know, occupational, you say, interest, that is the same. So the social interest is the same. And then ideally also you see that the, you know, the basic devotional sentiment is the same. Like that. And then charts, and then like that. At that time, the detachment he develops for his house through his devotional service is accepted. Right. So, in other words, he's saying it's eligible. So, it means he becomes detached from the house by the performance of his devotional service. Means he's in the house, it's favorable for service, but he's detached from the house in that he will enjoy from being in the house situation. Does that make sense? So that's why there's no difference in between the grihastha and the renunciate. Is whatever situation they're in, the situation is not for their own enjoyment. So being in that state of mind, now if the house situation in the house is unfavorable for him to do the service, then he's eligible to leave. And by this next, is his detachment is accepted. Right? Otherwise, if one just leaves because it's difficult, that's in the mode of passion. So that's not technically renunciation. It's not actually detachment. It just means it's too difficult, so you want an easier situation, but you still want to be in that situation of sense gratification. Does that make sense? You know? So that's why you'll probably see... Yeah, well, it's hard to say. For this reason, Srivas Pandit did not leave home, right? Because it was favorable. Mm. For this reason, Srup Damodar took sannyas. It wasn't favorable. Right?
Means he was not in touch.
Srup Damodar? I don't think so. I think from a brahmacharya you went straight.
Maharaj, for instance, the guy follows the Srup Chaitanya. So in a female, should we be looking at their wives as our role model?
Yeah, one can, but one can look at anybody because the principle is the same.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Is that it just may, the form of it may change. You know what I'm saying? And that, it's like we were saying before, the love for Krishna, that's the natural inherent manifestation of Ananda from the living entity, right? Now, if that is not applied to Krishna, then it will be applied for our own purpose, right? So then the love is transformed into lust, right? That's the basic principle. Now, depending, so that means we see the Lord's energy as something for us to enjoy, right? So, and do we want just ordinary, not so, you know, just ordinary energy, or do we want some good quality energy, right? Okay, so when it says, you know, when Lord Chaitanya is saying, you know, I don't want, you know, how you say, well followers or beautiful women, it's the same principle. Just when it's applied, when that same love is applied in a perverted form to enjoying the form of a woman, then we'll call that lust. But when it's applied on money, that's greed. When we apply it on something else, then that's, you know, that social, you know, that upper mobility. So that same principle is there in both the men and the women. Does that make sense? Because the point is here is when we're saying feminine, we mean more than just those in a female body. We mean the whole, the Lord's creation. Right? So when we're trying to enjoy that separately than from the Lord, that's a problem. So one can take example from their wives, you know, for the specific duties of being in that occupation, but at the same time as devotionally you take from anybody like that, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Is that all genuine devotees have remained either at home or in the forest due to this consideration, right? That's all. What's favorable, what's not, just it's too much trouble. It's not like so many brahmacharis who aren't really good brahmacharis, right? And they ask why, you know, about you planning to get married. Oh, no, it's so much trouble. It's this and that. But that's not a reason not to get married, right? Just like a businessman, it's not a reason not to do business because it's trouble. You know what I'm saying? He has no need for business. That could be a reason. But that he would like that, but it's too much trouble. That's not the thing. So that you know, how you say, you know, the, I guess a bachelor would be a better. Yeah, bachelor would kind of be a better. So means they're not getting married because of the trouble, not that they wouldn't like the facility and like the interaction. So that's not a reason, right? And that also, in the same way, as one is in the situation and there's so much trouble, right? You got to consider how the wife is and the moods, and then the kids and they're growing up and all the other things, and the social pressure and the money and all those things. That the trouble, that's not a reason to leave it, right? So he's saying here, the genuine devotees, they've either remained at home or in the forest due to this consideration. What's favorable for the service and what's not? That's all. So it's not just a matter, oh, it's so much trouble, I could be doing so much more for Krishna, but why is it now you're saying that? Why is it before wasn't said? Because it's the same situation, same wife, same kids, same house, same mortgage. You know, like that. Why now?
Grass is greener.
Yeah, something. So you're suggesting Alcapulco, or
it's a possibility, yes, okay. Definitely.
Okay.
For a while, then he'll be back.
And then he'll be.
Oh, he'll find a new wife.
Yeah.
Maybe in Acapulco. Maybe in Acapulco.
Yes. So that's the difficulty. Yes.
And Maharaj, but in the scripture it is mentioned quite often the. Not maybe the necessity, but the inspiration to go from one ashram to another one.
Yes, yes.
So how can we, because here in that description it depends on the
favorability.
Yes, he can check for himself, the devotee.
Yes.
But in the scripture there are some advice to move from another ashram.
No, it's to move. In other words, past 50 one shouldn't be trying to cultivate the Grihastha ashram. But that's why, because remember the question the other day was, why isn't there a samskar between Grihastha and Vanaprastha? Right? There's one between Brahmachari and and Grihastha, and one between Grihastha and, or Vanaprastha and Sannyas. But not between those two, because it's very fluid between those two. You know, what aspect is remaining from the Grihastha? In other words, the facilities may be there, but Grihastha is more of a mentality rather than the facilities. You know what I'm saying? Like Drona is a Brahmin, right? But he's living in a palace. But it doesn't make him a king. You know what I'm saying? So he'll live in the palace as a Brahmin. Simple and like that. Same facilities, Duryodhana will live and he'll be a king and enjoying life and everything like that. Same verandas, same sitting places, you know, same pillows and couches. So it's a mentality. So the Grihastha means he's trying to increase, trying to develop the facilities, right, for engagement of the senses. Vanaprastha means he's trying to reduce them. So once past the age of 50, then it's time to look at reducing. So in other words, if the situation in the household environment is favorable for that, because that's now the direction of his service, then he remains. You know, the wife is going that direction, or the children give that facility, or he's able to create that facility for himself, then it's favorable. Right? But if it's not, he wants to, you know, use the thing, he wants to do like programs at the house or this or that or do that. The family doesn't want it because they want, you know, I mean, you know, come on, it's Saturday night, that's when the movies are on, you know, like that. So, you know, so things like that. So they don't want to have a program at the house. So then they'll be favorable to shift to something else. You know what I'm saying? In other words, is that what I'm saying? So in general, because the family, the kids are younger, right? So they're going to appreciate the continuance of the Grihastha environment. Maybe they can accommodate the Vanaprastha. Maybe they can't. You know, they don't have a granny flat in their house, so therefore it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So then it may be favorable to shift. You know what I'm saying? And then, depending on the wife, she's comfortable there with the kids in that environment like that. Then she stays in that environment. The husband moves out of that environment. Or she also has been doing that long enough and that let the kids be crazy, and then they both shift out of that. You know? Or it may work, they can be in that environment and perform their service without any distraction from the kids. Does that make sense? You know, that's when you have this whole thing. If it's just the kids have already grown up and left, and it's just the husband and wife, then it's just a matter of them creating that atmosphere, right? Then it's down to, you know, the thing is are they both going to do that in that mood in the house, or she wants to continue whatever she likes, and then he shifts from that. But it's still the same principle. You know what I'm saying? So it's just natural at that time. Because 50, then you're old. You know, you may like it or not, share, may believe it or not, but you're old. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yes.
Marsh, how does it work out who gets the, which children get the house, which one?
Means when it comes to vanaprastha?
Yeah.
Vanaprastha means they all stay with the grihastha environment.
Is the son, the eldest son, the most eligible to manage the facilities that the parents leave behind?
Oh, you mean that? You mean inheritance?
Something like that.
That's different. I thought you meant who gets the children. You know, when they take. You know, she wants to stay at home and he wants to go out. So does he get the son and she gets the daughter? But the daughter's more attached to the father and the son. So does he stay at home? But then she goes with him. But then that's not a favorable environment for the daughter, and it's not good for the son because he should be a gurukul. So you know, so they. You meant inheritance.
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
I thought, well, yeah, I mean, can you get inheritance when people are still alive?
Technically not, no.
So what do you call that then?
Huh?
What do you call that then?
Yeah, who manages the estate?
Manages, yeah.
I mean, technically, if they retire from it, then you get it. You know what I'm saying?
And how
does it work? It generally goes to the oldest son.
Eldest son.
Like that, and like that, then you work it out. Because he's supposed to be like the father and take care of everybody else. Or they can separate and separately run their lives if by doing that it will be more favorable for service. You know what I'm saying? Because if it's one big house, they'll do one program and they'll only do one program.
That's the same in that both or all three children are devotees. So you have like...
Yes, means so. But the point is otherwise you just they all just get equal shares. You know what I'm saying? That's the general thing. You know, so if the eldest son is to take care of the others, then there's a consideration he gets something extra. But if not, it's not so important. Equal shares is pretty standard. If you can't work it out, it's just equal shares. But that doesn't mean that you take the car and cut it up into three pieces. No. Things stay whole. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know. Okay. Yeah. Manu mentions that. Is that things that are, you know, in an item of one, they're not divided. You know. Right? Otherwise that won't work so good. He is always careful not to commit offenses against the holy name. Right? Now let us consider the occupation of a renunciate. Okay? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to the renunciate Raghunath Das Goswami as follows. A person in the renounced order should always chant the holy name of the Lord. He should beg some alms to eat, and he should sustain his life in this way. A vairagi, a person in the renounced order, should not depend upon others. If he does so, he will be unsuccessful and he will be neglected by Krishna. Right? Because then one's not surrendering to Krishna. One is surrendering to these other persons. Right? So the independence means is that you don't require. It doesn't mean that you don't give opportunity for service, but it's not that you require. But if you require it, that's not going to work. Because that's the point, then why leave the grihastha ashram? Because there, if you have some dependency on others to be involved, then that's where you'll get that. Right? So the point is that here then the dependency is on Krishna. So however it works out, one may have nice facilities, one may not have nice facilities. It doesn't matter, whatever Krishna gives. If a renunciate is eager for his tongue to taste different foods, his spiritual life will be lost, and he will be subservient to the taste of his tongue. Because then he'll just run after trying to get nice food. It doesn't mean if nice food comes, he doesn't eat it. It just means that he's not making the endeavor to try to find this food. Right? Otherwise, he'll go beg at this person's house because they're better cook, but not that person's house because they're not, you know, they're terrible.
Ask what they're cooking before you beg.
Yeah. Just if you could just. Yeah. The duty of a person who renounced order is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra always. He should satisfy his belly with whatever vegetables, leaves, fruits, and roots are available. Right. One who is subservient to the tongue and who thus goes here and there, devoted to the genitals and the belly, cannot attain Krishna. Okay. So that ends that point. So in other words, what comes with ease, just performing his service, right, and dependency on Krishna, that's what you accept. So it's whatever. You know, that's why that first, because it may be nice, it may not be nice. But he's not judging that. He's just judging that Krishna's arranged this. Right? The grihastha may make that endeavor to get something extra. Right? But then as a vanaprastha, he'll follow this and not make any endeavor. You know what I'm saying? In fact, he'll see that it's not so nice. You know what I'm saying? Well, the sannyasi, it doesn't matter if it's nice or not. Right? The grihastha has to be nice. Vanaprastha shouldn't be nice. And the sannyasa, it doesn't matter. Brahmachari takes whatever he's given. he doesn't really have a choice in the matter. You know, that's the thing. The other three have a choice. Like that. And he's younger and he's hungry, so whatever does come, he will eat. Like that. So generally it works out. Like that. But it doesn't mean if you want to feed them nicely, it won't be appreciated. Like that.
You haven't seen Brahmacharis on hunger strike?
No, I haven't.
Thing.
I've seen them complaining on Monday morning that they're not going to eat again. Yeah. But generally that determination becomes weak by about Thursday. You know. And by Sunday, then they're quite enthusiastic again.
Sunday,
just as stupid. I remember I remember 6 weeks of going through that before we figured out to cut down on the volume. You know, it's like, again, it was ridiculous. It was the standard. You know, it's like you have those paper plates, the big ones, right? Not the small ones, the big ones. You know, you eat two of those. I mean, the requirement is two of those of sabji. Before you can start on the sweets. It's just, the dumb president, you have to eat that first. The point is maybe you don't eat that much, but his point is, you know, don't go for the sweets too much, right? So two of those. So that's standard. You have to eat that, right? Then you get one of those big monster samosas, but you only get one because that's all they're going to give you, like that. Pakoras, you can generally get quite a plate full of that. You know, you do pretty good on that. You know, then you can get to the sweets. So you eat at least two plates of halava. You know, like that. And then there's, you know, you have these bowls, right? And generally, you don't have little dinky, little dainty bowls. Some good sized bowl. You know, there's quite a few of those.
If you don't have a bucket, then.
Yeah, then by that time, you're so full, you know, you can get it. And so then, you know, most people have left. So now there's leftover, how you say, those, what are those called? Beishan ladus. But the Beishan ladus are made with powdered sugar. Mm-hmm. So powdered sugar has this effect that when it goes on the tongue, it makes a cooling effect, seemingly. Mm-hmm. So then you eat 15 of those because it seems to cool down the stomach that is like that. Then, you know, then you go downstairs. Well, I mean, you had two kinds of temples. Then you either went downstairs. Yeah, you either went downstairs or upstairs. You went downstairs and did kirtan straight for 2 hours. I mean, you know, just bouncing off the walls and everything like that. Or you went upstairs and went to sleep for about 4 hours. Like that. That was pretty standard. And then, so the next morning, then you're thinking, well, I should eat a little bit less. So here when the brahmacharis are talking about eating less, we're not talking about, you know, they're eating an okay amount, but they're cutting it down a bit. We're talking about they're eating a ridiculous amount, and they're bringing it back to obscene. You know? Like that, you know, so that's the... Remember what it was? We're sitting there, I forgot what it was, he cooked some pasta or something. One of the brahmacharis, but he was from what's that name? Where all the forests are in Russia? All the stalags are there?
Siberia,
yeah. So then you know, I figure out how much you cook and like that. And I cook, you know, I figured, you know, okay, you know, Max, if you really go for it, then, you know, you might eat. I forget what we cooked. I think we cooked half a kilo of pasta. Like that. No, maybe we did a little bit more.
That's for one person.
Huh?
500 grams.
Yeah, but I mean, for Italian, they only eat 100 grams. Oh. That's a serving, you know. But, you know, if you're more hungry than 200, 250, okay. Like this. So I'm not sure what we cooked. I think it was, we're going to cook one, and then the guy says, no, I cook two. So then, you know, the guy did pretty good, you know. I mean, he's like this big, you know, like that. And, you know, he's telling stories about how, you know, during the, what do you call it? You know, before the last run, you know, he was one of the guys in one of those nuclear missile silos, you know, like that. You know, he's the guy that if they call him on the phone, he pushes the red button, you know. Yeah. You know, so he's like that. So, you know, out there in the middle of Siberia somewhere. And so then, and I'm saying, I'm impressed how much he's eating, you know. So he's eating like, you know, 750, 800 grams of pasta himself. And I think, man, he's doing pretty good. He says, oh, I'm nothing. He said, you know, he's saying when he used to be on traveling Sankirtan party, there was this little skinny Russian brahmachari, and he would eat literally a bucket like that. So he was saying, you know, he was the champ, you know. So that would be like 2 to 3 times what he ate, you know. So I was always saying, you bring it back from the ridiculous back down to just, you know, obscene, and then, you know, that's okay. That's standard brahmachari. Yeah. But, therefore, in other words, if you want to feed them nicely, they won't mind. That's the basic principle. Just have to worry about the quantity, you know. And if it comes down between quantity and quality, lean more towards the quality. You know, it's a matter of, okay, I could get the better olives, or, you know, I'd have to cut down on that. You know, get the next one down and then increase this. You know, so. Does that make sense? You know?
So it's not a plate of quality hors d'oeuvres for the brahmachari, you know?
No, it's just part of the meal. Right? It's just the first course. No, it doesn't work like that. Because also, if you follow that point, is that here, they're not supposed to be eager for his tongue to taste different foods. So the brahmachari being very renounced and strict in this, then he's not eating to please the senses, but just simply to keep body and soul together. Right? You just make the body so heavy it can't go anywhere. So, therefore, you don't have to worry about losing it. So in this way, body and soul stay together. Does that make sense? Yeah. Works, right?
Yeah.
If you check, most brahmacharis are still alive. It's the old guys you have to watch out for, right? You know, like that, because they eat so little, right? So the body gets light, and so it can float away, or blow off in a breeze, or like that. But brahmacharis, no. You bring a storm, it's still there, right? You know, so that's like, yeah. Okay, next point. Okay. This is just going through the verses. Okay, then, do not talk like people in general, nor hear what they say. In other words, what we talked before about prajalpa. In other words, the prajalpa means talking about others. So if the talking about others isn't of some benefit, devotionally, like that, then it shouldn't be used. So the general populace speaks about others as just a normal pastime. I mean, otherwise, what do you do? That's gossip, like that. Or hear what they have to say. Right? You should not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress very nicely. Right? Because here is then it means it goes out of the way. It means if it comes, that's one thing, but you don't make the endeavor. Like that. Does that make sense? Like that. Do not expect honor, but offer all respect to others. Because you have the point of this manadena is that you're in a position to deserve respect, and in that position you don't expect respect. That's not that you don't expect, though you deserve and they should give. This means you deserve, but you're not getting, and you're not worried about it. Right? You know, it's one thing, okay, you know, I'm a schnook, so therefore I don't deserve any, so if I don't get any, so it doesn't bother me. That's okay. But, you know, as you perform service, then you're not necessarily such a schnook anymore. That's the one. The power of devotional service is the ability to remove schnookness. Yes, yes, like that. So then it becomes like, yeah. Yes.
About sannyasi should not eat very palatable food. I think it is connected with the idea that a sannyasi is not supposed to cook for himself.
Yeah, generally he doesn't cook for himself, I would say, so therefore he's not arranging. I would also, it means there would be an underlying point here, which would be based on the philosophy, because see, we'll have a tendency to look at the external or the form of it, and then there's the mood of it. The point is, means if you're eating palatable food, what does that mean? What is the focus? On the senses, on the food. But the point is it's Krishna. Right? So the point is if it tastes nice, that taste is Krishna. So then there's no problem in that it tasting wonderful because it's Krishna. The more wonderful, the more one's thinking of Krishna. So therefore that song, Lord Chaitanya is saying, Shakori Ashwadan Krishna Prit. What is it? What is it? Shakori Ashwadan? I can't remember. But he's saying that you taste this shock, you know, you get love of Godhead because Krishna's tasted it. So that means it's one. It tastes better than the most palatable, you know, material food. So it's not that the taste is wonderful. The problem is seeing that taste separate from Krishna. Does that make sense?
Bhakti Vinod Thakur said as well, by tasting these shock preparations, life becomes worthwhile.
Yes, life becomes worthwhile. Yeah. Thank God. So. You know, that's what I mean here by leaves. Vegetables, leaves, fruits, and roots. Leaves doesn't mean you go to the tree and pick off a few leaves and start chewing on them. No, like that. It means shock. God. So I'm not sure if you can extend that to mean, you know, salad or something like that. So, you know how you say? He should satisfy his belly with whatever, you know. Yeah, with whatever salads, you know, kind of this. Does that make sense? So then, therefore, he's not looking for palatable food, but he's accepting prasad. Mm-hmm. And so then, that one appreciates that taste that's there because Krishna has tasted it. That's not a problem. But it's a different level. It's engaged the senses. So that same principle is what the Grihastha is trying to apply also. Right? So therefore then there's no difference. It's just that one is making endeavor to arrange these facilities and one is not. But the principle will be the same, yeah.
But if sannyasi does have to cook for service, you know, he doesn't have any other facilities, would it be considered?
Well, it doesn't mean he cooks bad, at least.
No, but he cooks simple. Like
he cooks simple.
Whatever. It's not a big thing.
Yeah, means simple means simple means it's cooked properly with the you know, appropriate things for the season, like here you mentioned. Whatever vegetables, leaves and fruits are available. In other words, what comes easily. You know, like that. So it's not that you go out of your way. You know, you're there at that shop, you get the stuff there, not that you drive halfway across town to some gourmet shop because that's the way you can only get this and then over there to get that and all that. You know what I'm saying? You'd only do that if you're having guests. Then you can do that. But if you don't, then you wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? But simple doesn't mean it's not good. Simple will mean what would be considered okay by the level of cooking ability you have. Does that make sense? So someone who is a gourmet cook, then, you know, okay means everyone else will go, it's fabulous, and for them it's just okay. For them, fabulous is in another level altogether. Does that make sense? Because the point is you do have to offer it to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, someone else will be, you know, you stick in you know, you're cooking and you put in your chunks of ginger and turmeric and amlaki and, you know, spirulina and all that kind of stuff and cook that up. And but because now they're renounced and they're not, you know, whatever comes easily, they don't do all that. That makes sense. I'm just trying to make a difference here, because a lot of times when devotees say, you know, it should be simple, means they don't know cooking. Mm. You know? And so then if it actually tastes nice, then they consider it's a sin. Mm. Like that. So to avoid that, you know, then to... Does that make sense? Because most who talk so strongly about being very, you know, renunciation in eating, are ones that have no idea how to cook, how to serve, or how to eat. So it's not a value for them. And so for them, it's very easy. Just like, you know, to give a blunt example, it's very easy for a man who's gay to be a misogynist. So easy. Ah, the women, yes, it's very easy. You know? Like that. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, someone who knows something and then they keep it to there. Just like the Goswamis, they're living with nothing because they gave something up. You know what I'm saying? They weren't useless, and so therefore they're living like that and then complaining about the guy who has something. You know what I'm saying? The Goswamis have nothing, but they never complain about somebody who has something. You know what I'm saying? Because they had it, they gave it up. So they knew how to engage in the Lord's service. And so now it's favorable to not be engaged like that. So that's not the complaint. The form is not the trouble. It's the consciousness. But we'll take it that it's the form. That's why he said, these are the reasons that the genuine devotees accept or not Grihastha Ashram. It's based on its connection to the Lord. Right? So facility, someone has more, it's just they put in the same work, they get more. If they're putting, they have more facilities and less Krishna consciousness because they don't give the time, and they could. That then you can make a comment. But if the person, he does his 8 hours of work and he has lots of facilities, and someone else does 8 hours and has not so much facility, it's not a matter of this guy's a gross sense guy. No, it's just that his ability is more in that area. Now he engages in Krishna service, and that's fine. Another person with less, he engages that in Krishna service. Is that okay? Okay. Yeah, just on that point, that had the other day, someone was making, the doctor had told them to be very careful on, I forget what it was, but they had to take something that was low calorie. Right? You know, so the person is an expert cook. So then they just take, you know, some, I forget, you know, like some skim milk and some oats and some this and that, and put together these kind of like, you know, energy drink thingies that, you know, everybody puts together that taste terrible, like that, but it was fabulous. Like that. So it just means, but for them that was just an oatmeal drink, you know. Because when they talk about good food, then that's a whole other, you know, level. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's... do not expect honor, but offer all respect to others, because every living entity is a servant of Krishna, whether they know it or not, but that's their position. In relationship, you respond and interact with them based on how they deal with you, but your perception of them is always that they're servants of Krishna. Right? So if that's the case, then much of the time how you'll respond may also be adjusted. Right? Does that make sense? Always, yeah. In other words, the devotee will be very natural with everybody because they see like that. So they just deal on that level. They don't look at it, you know, from something else. They don't become biased by their material proclivities or lack of God consciousness. Always chant the holy name of the Lord, and within your mind render service to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So we see is that after saying, you know, the lifestyle, then it's you know, always chant the holy name. That was the end also of the Grihastha, right? So in other words, it's the same. One is seeing that their facilities are there nicely, and one is not. Right? Means Dvaitacharya, he was an expert cook. Right? You read the list of what's there and what he made. You know, the range is very, very nice. Right? But it was offered to the Lord. You know, and the renunciate, he doesn't make those kind of arrangements. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So it's just a difference in the occupation. But the principle of its connection to the Lord is the same. Does that make sense? So the grihastha is arranging it, but when he eats it, it'll be the same as when the renunciate eats it, because the renunciate is not arranging it. But if he ate that same food, he would deal it in the same way. You understand? So in other words, grihasthas create facility, sannyasis don't. Right? Yeah. Just get benefits. Right? Prabhupada saying about the guys when they were building the long building, right? They're in the lotus building, they're watching, so all the laborers are there. He says that these laborers, they'll work very hard, and then when they finish working hard on this building, then we'll kick them out and then we'll move in the building. He said just like the rat, right? The rat digs this hole and works very hard, and then the snake comes, you know, eats the rat, and then lives in his house, you know, like that, you know. So. Yes, yeah, so like that.
Hopefully we contribute in some other way.
Yeah, okay, but I'm just saying. A sannyasi or renunciate should not live in his village with his relatives. A renunciate should not meet a king or woman. A renunciate should remain faultless. Right? Not live in the village with his relatives. Generally, that means he'll live somewhere else, right? Brahmachari can be. But he generally will... The brahmachari, his consideration is where is favorable to work under his teacher. So if his teacher's in the same village, he'll be there at his school. If his teacher's somewhere else, he'll be there. It doesn't matter for them. Or, you know, yeah, it doesn't matter. The grihastha, of course, will be with his relatives. Otherwise, what's the meaning of being a grihastha if you don't function with relatives? You know, you're in this village, your wife's in that village, your son's in that village, your daughter's over here, you know, like that.
His mom in society?
Huh? Yeah, his mother's in another village, you know.
No, that's modern. That's modern.
Yeah, that's the modern, yeah. Yeah, so one ideally avoids that because you don't get much interaction. There's not much coming from. So you're in the same village, not necessarily the same house, the same village. So there's contact. You can interact.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So whether in the village of London or the village of New York or the village of Los Angeles or the extended village of Los Angeles. Right? Okay, should not meet a king or woman. Because the point is the king is materially inclined. He's absorbed so much in the material energy. The woman is absorbed in the material energy. So we saw as before, what was defined is therefore interaction with them is based on the principle of Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not in, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So then it's not a satsanga. Like that. If there's service involved, then there's there. If there's not service involved, there's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And he should remain faultless. No, he should act in a way that others aren't going to criticize. Like that. That's always the best. It doesn't mean people don't criticize anyway, but it means that he acts in a, he does his best to act in a way that it's not going to create a problem. Right?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jaya.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jaya.
Jainata Govind.